We'll ask you to please stand for the gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, selected verses. Hear now God's word. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One day, the rabbi of a synagogue, in a frenzy of religious passion, rushed in before the Ark of the Covenant, and he fell to his knees and started beating his breast, crying, "I am nobody, I am nobody." And not to be outdone, the cantor of the synagogue, impressed by the example of the spiritual humility and the attention, joined the rabbi on his knees up front, saying, "I am nobody, I am nobody." And caught up in that, a custodian off to the side couldn't restrain himself either, and he joined the other two up front in the synagogue, calling out, "I am nobody, I am nobody." And at that point, the rabbi nudged the cantor and said, "Look who thinks he's nobody." It is funny, even on Ash Wednesday. We are not here for false repentance or to display superior spirituality just simply by acknowledging our sins. We are here to acknowledge our reality before God. In a way, and this sounds strange, but in a way I am jealous of AA members, really, because they don't pretend to be perfect the way many of us church folk do. They start their meeting by saying, "My name is so-and-so, and I am an alcoholic." They begin their meetings with the plain statement of brokenness and need. Ash Wednesday is the day when we stop pretending, when we drop the arrogance of adequacy before God and say, "We are all broken, and we all need help." We ought to start by saying, "My name is Jim, and I am a sinner. I am broken. I am wounded. But thanks be to God, I am being healed," and look forward to a final healing and salvation through Jesus Christ, who, as he walked this same earth, was also tempted by sin, so says Scripture, lied about and broken by this world, wounded and rejected. God knows what it is like to be me, to be you. And if I pretend to be perfect, and if you as Christians pretend to be perfect, I think that may insult what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. If we were perfect or even potentially perfectible, then Jesus Christ and his cross become optional. And to think of Jesus Christ as optional, I think, is an insult to God. We are not perfect, and we are not perfectible outside of God's power and grace. Somehow we have domesticated Jesus, and we keep him in clean brick buildings and orderly pews and fresh pressed clothing. But I know on every pew there is a little brokenness, or maybe a lot, and a little dis-ease of soul. We are broken people. We need God as a lover of our souls, as a forgiver of our sins, and a maker of peace. Jesus, who of all things died nailed to a cross, knows about suffering and what this world does to people. And we do all have scars as well. But have you ever thought that living people with scars proves that healing can happen? We come to Ash Wednesday with no pretense of perfection. God is my hope. God is my healer. I didn't mean to have a sort of a Jewish theme here, but you know, Hasidic Jews have a tradition that teaches that everybody should have two pockets in their coats with two slips of paper, and it is a wonderful parallel to Ash Wednesday. On those slips of paper, one says, "I am only dust and ashes." And the tradition among Hasidic Jews is to carry that with them always. And the other says, "For me, the whole universe was created." Sometimes we need to remember that first slip of paper, as we do tonight, as we come to be marked, if you wish to come forward, with the ashes of repentance. And sometimes we also need to remember the second, to remember that we have been adopted by God in Christ, and that through Him God forgives us, makes us joint heirs with Christ of all that has been made. Tonight is the beginning of the season of Lent, the beginning of the season in which we are called to contemplation, to a holy fast, if you are called to that, to studying of Scripture, to self-examination, and to a prayer for the power to grow in faith. We also are reminded of the words in communion, "Christ has died," and that is sad, but "Christ is risen," and that is joyful, and "Christ will come again," which means ultimately and always our hope is in God and Christ. And the gospel does echo those Hasidic words of wisdom. I am only dust and ashes, but for me, for you, the whole universe was created. God has not left us alone or left us without hope. It is also about our mortality. Theologian Robert McAfee Brown once wrote a little meditation following the death of a friend of his. And he said, "His death made me think about my life." Well, not too many months ago, my father's death made me determined not to waste any minute of my life, to take better care of myself emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And part of not wasting life is remembering how all life here ends and what really matters. I once saw a bumper sticker, and many of you have seen it too, that says, "He who dies with the most toys wins." You've seen that? It really should say, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." Lent calls us to do what matters most and last longest: love, forgiveness, grace, hope. We all sin. We all die. Where then is our hope? Where does it come from? Not from what we have done nor could do. Not from what we could own or could own. But from what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. As you turn more completely to God during a time of intentional growth in Lent, God will send you out to others. God always, when we come to Him, sends us out to others to offer the same peace, the love, forgiveness, and grace that we have gotten to others. We acknowledge tonight our need and God's ability and willingness to move us beyond our neediness into usefulness in sharing God's hope.